Good morning. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our
and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I like peanuts. And there's this one peanuts comic strip. It's the first day of school. And the students were told to write an essay about returning to class. So Lucy wrote hers, and this is what she wrote. Vacations are nice, but it's good to get back to school. There's nothing more satisfying than challenging education, and I look forward to a year of expanding my knowledge. Needless to say, the teacher was pleased with Lucy and compliments her fine essay. And then in the final frame, Lucy leans over to Charlie Brown and whispers, "After a while, you learn what sells." Lucy lied. No matter what the facts were, she told someone not the truth, but what they wanted to hear. Today, we read from Matthew 9. And at this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is becoming quite popular. The people are smitten with his preaching, and they wanted to hear more. Jesus just healed a leper, the centurion's servants, and Peter's mother-in-law. And the word about Jesus was spreading around rapidly. Could this, the people wondered, could this be the Messiah? And many, many people were coming after Jesus. Then in this morning's gospel that we just read, two blind men come to Jesus asking to be healed. When they come to him, they identify Jesus as the Messiah. They say, "Son of David," right? The Messiah's in the lineage of King David. "Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus touches their eyes and they're healed. The news of this healing now spreads wide and fast. And immediately thereafter, they bring a demon-possessed deaf mute to Jesus. And then Jesus casts this demon, and deaf mute now speaks. We read the multitudes marveled. In Greek, it's also like are astonished or amazed. It's like, wow, blown away. It's something like that. Okay, the word marveled. The people are amazed by this miracle and these miracles. And they say nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. The people knew from the prophet Isaiah that the healing of the deaf and the blind was a sign of the Messiah. And Jesus healed back to back both a deaf man and a blind man. And the Pharisees are furious. The crowds are now following Jesus. Their influence, their control over the people is slipping. But they cannot deny these miracles of Jesus. The Pharisees themselves would not admit or even believe that Jesus was the Messiah. If they did, it would undermine their power, and it would wreck their world, you could say. So, and this is, here's key, and this is where my main point is going to be from today. They could not deny the miracles, so they resorted to lying. They said that Jesus casted out demons by the prince of demons. Now, think about how ludicrous that is. First, think about how evil it is to lie about the great works of God. To lie about God is absolute blasphemy. Even more so, this lie is totally illogical. It makes no sense that someone casts out demons by the prince of demons. They just said something. At St. Vlad's, there's a famous professor, Professor Serge Vyhovskoy. I never met him, but I was very good friends with his grandson by coincidence at school. He was a professor of dogmatics at St. Vlad's. He was an incredibly intelligent and pious man. And he was Father Tom Hopko's mentor. And Father Tom often told the story of asking Vyhovskoy, "What do you think is the worst possible sin?" And he said, "My dear," apparently that's the way he spoke, "my dear, you don't know?" Father Tom joked and said, "Well, I'm just checking to see if you know, Professor." And he said, "Well, my dear, it is very clear, according to Holy Scriptures and all the saints, that the worst sin of all is the lie, the conscious distortion of truth, the deceit." And this is exactly what the Pharisees did. The first lie took place in the Garden of Eden. And you and I are still suffering the repercussions. Satan said to Eve, Did God say you shall not eat the tree of the life, the tree of the garden? You shall not eat of any tree of the garden. And he tells Satan, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Then Satan lies to Eve. You will not die. You will be like God. Not only does he lie to her, he tempts her with pride. And of course, we know what they did. And so Adam and Eve, when they were questioned by God about eating the fruit, they were less than honest. They were acting like Satan. They were misleading. They fudged the truth. They spun the truth. Adam, when asked, deflected, blaming God, saying, the woman you gave me made me eat that fruit. Think how dumb that is. But how many times we do things like that, right? Eve told God, especially children, the devil beguiled me. In other words, the devil tricked me, deceived me. He charmed me into this. No, Eve, you chose to. You have to own your sin. And the result of these lies is broken communion with God and death entered the world. Now, this is such an important scripture here for us to understand. And it goes all about from what we began with the devil, with the Pharisees. And the devil doing what he did. And this is Jesus speaking in the mid-feast. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. It has nothing to do with the truth. Satan has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. For when he lies, he speaks according to who he is. He speaks according to his own nature. And for he is the liar and he is the father of lies. So we're saying, what Jesus is saying here, the essence of Satan is to lie, is to be dishonest. And it's his tool in this world, his tool against us. It begins in the Garden of Eden, happens day to day. According to experts, we're going to reflect now for us. According to the experts, most of us, time to time, do our best to tell the truth, but sometimes we don't. We may not be outright lies, but we fudge it. In business, we puff up our resume, right? Applying for a job. Sometimes people pad their expense reports. Sometimes people overstate their billable hours. Or when you're negotiating, leave out certain bits of information or stretch out the truths. Different types of lies. Embellishments. Kind of tell a story and make it better than what it really is. Exaggerations. It happens all the time. Stress the truth beyond what's true, the reality. Lies of omission. Leaving out important information to create misconceptions. There's half-truths, misleading statements. It's what Adam and Eve did. Then there's the white lie we do in order to be polite. There's what the kids love to do, fibs, unimportant, just say stuff. Then there's the big spin. Whatever the facts are to spin, manipulate the details so somebody would interpret it differently. It's what politicians do. It's what the people on the news commentaries do. But the opposite of all this, brothers and sisters, is truth. The word in Greek is aletheia. Etymologically, it means to be totally unveiled, unconcealed, fully exposed, nothing hidden, no masks, no false realities, totally uncovered, totally transparent, nothing subjective, nothing left to interpretation. It is what it is. And this is so important in life and relationships. The fathers teach us that life is about relationships. The cornerstone of every relationship, brothers and sisters, whether it's personal, business, or marriage, is honesty. No lying. And if we're less than honest, if we're less than truthful, if we're not transparent in our relationships can be less than they will be, especially in marriage. The victim, and you won't have a best friend if you're dishonest with them. The victim of dishonesty, the victim of the lie, will lose trust in the one who deceives them. Why? Because we need to feel safe in relationships. Even the smallest of lies, we violate the relationship, we change the relationship, what it could be, and make it less than what it was and less than it could be. And trust, which is important in all relationships, over time, it happens over time, it's earned over time, it's maintained. It's not automatically granted. Every time we meet somebody, you know, I like to say when I meet somebody, It's not my original expression, but when I meet somebody, I put $10 in your pocket or 10 cents, whatever it may be. But I put trust in you. And if things go well, I add to your bank account. But if you lie to me, and this is human nature, you know, oh, you do something good. You got $10 and one penny, $10 and two pennies. But you lie, you got $9 or $8. And unfortunately, sometimes in relationships, one day you don't know when you go bankrupt, you know, if you really abuse it. So you do, and you know, it sounds stupid in one way, very infantile, but in relationships, you make deposits. When you're married, you make deposit after deposit after deposit, because you're going to make a withdrawal, but you're going to get in a lot of trouble. No, I'm joking around, but do you see the concept here? It's so important. One lie can take away many years of trust earned. In all relationships, though, sometimes it's hard to tell the truth because of the potential hurt, or you just don't want to deal with it. But St. Paul tells us this: speak the truth in love. The idea here is that telling the truth, and this is something we were taught as brand new priests, the idea here is to speak the truth with gentleness and love, and always the best. And whatever you say, if you do it with love, it's in the end, it's always spiritually what's healthiest for all, both the person who's struggling and you who are delivering the message, no matter what. So always to speak the truth in love. And always remember this concept as a parent, as a coworker, anywhere along that lines. Always speak the truth in love. And one of the things I struggled with most in the construction industry was the necessity of the business lie, right? We did it all the time. I mean, we planned lies in the office, okay? We're gonna sit down, how are we gonna tell this person this and this? And we're scheming and we're lying to each other and we're not lying, you know? But it's all about, you know, when you rationalize, you're already in sin, okay? And my Christian friends, I would talk about it, and they often excuse it as being a part of business. Hey, this is just what we do, it's part of business, what we need to do, and that's it, it's okay. We go to church on Sunday, I'm like, oh man, this is so inconsistent in my life, you know? Anyhow, lying is a common practice in the fallen world, but not in the kingdom. Think about that. Lying is a common practice here, but not in our Lord's kingdom. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And by the way, what did he say about Satan? He's the opposite, there's no truth in him. Okay, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the truth, God is the truth, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. You and I are made in the image and likeness of God. That means we're made in the image and likeness of truth. Think about that. So that's integrity. We always have to be truth. We're baptized into Christ. We're baptized into what? The truth. We put on truth when we put on Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and we're called temples of the Holy Spirit. So our vocation, our calling is to be temples of truth. I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, there is a direct correlation between being a person of prayer, being a person who comes before our Lord all the time, the truth, and being and telling the truth. If you really, 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 really pray, it's going to be part of who you are. The Spirit of truth will fill our lives organically. And though we're tempted to lie, we're tempted to be less than honest, the Spirit convicts us. And we speak the truth just because that's the right thing to do, and that's it. And we take the hit if we have to, if there's something bad. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to say this. If we really, 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 really live our life in Christ, if we really, really pray, if we're really, really conscious of Him, there'll be no problem with lying. We'll be organically resistant to it. It'll be very easy to speak the truth and to speak the truth with love and always with love. Okay? To Christ, the way, the truth, and life be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.